So this is our newbie bloggers. And boy, I tell you, I'm just finding all kinds of things to blog about. And you can, you know, you can just find information everywhere that somebody might be interested in. And so, you know me, I'm always about repurposing content, and I have to write a paper about my freedom number for my real estate. I'm actually a speaker Wednesday night. And so I have to write this presentation about the freedom number. So I started doing my research this morning, and I could actually turn that into a blog post. And here is some fun stuff that I want to show you just to make our life easier, which, you know, I'm all about being passive and making it easy. So the first thing I want to show you, if I can find my paper, is here is my Google Docs, and here is my original, and these are just my Google Docs. Does everybody have Google Docs? I love Google Docs. I use my Google Docs now more than I use my Word because it, you know, it comes out automatically on every device that I have. I don't have to download the Word app. It's just the Google is there. The whole Google suite is there. And so for those of you that aren't familiar, and I'll just show you, if I go back to my Google Calendar and you see these little dots up here in the corner, does everybody see where I'm pointing to? If you click Google Apps, here is your whole Google Suites. It'll open up. And so right here's my Google Docs, but I also have Google Sheets if you want to do spreadsheets. But there's slides, there's books, there's an actual blogger site there if you wanted to use that for blogging. But this is the Google Suites. And so I simply clicked on these Google Docs right here, and this is how my docs open up. Now, once my docs open up, I take my original, and this is the original article that I found, and I simply copy and pasted it into a Google Doc. Now, this is an article written by someone else. And we don't want to plagiarize somebody else's article. We don't want to claim it as our own. So I took this article, and it's just kind of the beginnings of what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to turn everything into an actual PowerPoint, but this is called Your Freedom Number, what it is, and why you need to know yours. And then it starts talking about your freedom number. So what I did is I came in and I copied this. I highlighted this, copy and pasted it. And here's where I went. Do you see where it says article rewriter right here? I've saved this. So if I click on article rewriter, it is plagiarismremover.net/article rewriter. So make a note of that. And if you want, you can screen print depending on what device that you're on. So it's plagiarismremover.net article rewriter. Okay, so make a note of that. And then here you just paste in your original text. And so, oh, you know what? I clicked and lost my actual original text because it went over top of it. So let me go find that again. I got to go here, get to my Google Docs, and there's my Google Docs again. Okay, so here is my original. So I simply go here and I just highlighted, I'm just going to highlight a couple of paragraphs this time. So I just highlighted that and I copy that. Then I go over to the article rewriter and I paste that in. And then you click rewrite. Now here's where, see the little arrows, it's doing its thing. And there it is. So there's the original couple of paragraphs and here is the rewrite. Okay, so now you take the rewrite just to double check it, and you can copy that, and then you go to check my paper. And this is customwriting.com. So make a copy of this one, check my paper for plagiarism. So now you paste your rewritten version in there just as a double check and say, check my essay. It's doing its thing. Please wait. It's going out there seeing how much is, and look at this, 100% uniqueness. It doesn't match anything on the internet. Now, I took that original article right off the internet, rewrote it. Now, how fast was that? And then double checked it, and it says my new article is 100% uniqueness of the text. There are no matches anywhere. on the internet that matches. So now I can use this confidently that I'm not plagiarizing anyone else's article. Is that helpful to everybody? So when you're really in a pinch to write something, because when you do your research, sometimes you find these articles and they're great articles, but you're thinking, I can't just use their article. You know, I mean, I could by giving them credit, like I found this article, but if I want to write a blog post and author that blog post myself, see, you're like almost like you're creating your own PLR. So now I have plagiarism free. Now I can go into this article and I can now make this my own. I can add some sentences, take away some sentences. I can, you know, fill in my own story. You know how we always talk about our story, and I can use some of my own story in here, and I can turn this truly into mine, but it gives me an outline. It gives me a base to start with. So is that helpful for everyone? Yes. Questions, comments. Let's talk about that for a minute before we move on. Any comments, Debbie?
So you took the article from the internet.
I just copied it right off the internet, just the way I found it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Then you put it into the plagiarism remover and you went to article rewriter. And then after you did that, then you went down to customwriting.com, which that checks your paper for plagiarism. And then what you're saying is then this, what you're showing right here, is now your story, which
correct
would be 100%, you know, your art. Okay, I got
correct.
It.
Correct. So I basically borrowed someone else's article, I rewrote it, and then I double checked it to make sure that the rewrite was enough. Now, the big question, and this is always up for conversation, and nobody has a definite answer on this. At what uniqueness is it considered okay? Wonder if this came up 82% unique. Wonder if this came up 75% unique. I like 100 personally, but sometimes you don't get 100. So I've done my research on this, and folks that are in the writing community say that if your article is in the 80% to 100% uniqueness, that you're okay. They recommend that you get it above 80. Because there are some common phrases, you know, depending on what industry you're in, there are some common phrases that everybody uses. And so, of course, those phrases are going to be over in other articles. You know, I'm in the real estate industry, so we're always talking about, you know, what is your after repair? What is your after repair value, your ARV? And well, we use that after repair value, ARV, oftentimes in our conversation. So I could see a lot of authors using that phrase. And so, you know, if I had that phrase in this article, I may not get 100% uniqueness. It might show that 20 other authors have also used that phrase. But that is a common phrase that's used in the real estate industry. So you're going to run into some of that. And so my research tells me that as long as you get at least a minimum of 80% uniqueness or better, that you're okay, because you could have some of those phrases depending on the topic that you're writing about. Does that make sense?
Totally.
And so this one happens to come out 100, which I'm very happy with. And again, I just copied that first couple of paragraphs, put it over here and rewrote it in the article rewriter. And again, the article rewriter is the www.plagiarismremover.net/article-rewriter. And then once I rewrote the article, then I put it into customwriting.com, check paper for plagiarism. And I saved them right on, see, they're right in my toolbar here. I even have a little word count one where I can, you know, because when you're writing, you know, now I can take the same thing here and paste it in there. And I have 130 words, 729 characters, you know, 188 syllables. So see, you can see where I can put it right in here. And here's top keywords. And this is a site called wordcount.com. Because whenever you're writing for magazines or you're writing, you know, professionally, word count matters. And they'll tell you what your word count can be. And so I can pop it in here and I can see, then I can also see my top keywords, estate, agents, idea, real, allow, because I'm real estate agents, but they've broken it down. But then here's my top phrases. See, real estate, agents constantly, agents idea. So this just gives me some ideas, you know, on what I'm writing for. And it says, how long should my text be? So they give you typical word counts for a Twitter post or a Facebook post, for blogs, a LinkedIn article, blog post, cover letters, high school essays, college admissions. See, they give you what your typical word count should be for all of these things. And so if you're writing and actually charging for your writing, and this is what you do for part of your income, then you want to make sure that you hit these numbers. So word count matters. And so the site that I'm using is right up here, and it's just wordcount.com. And you can see right in my toolbar here, I have added check my paper, article rewriter, and word count, because I use these all the time. So that way I don't have to look for them in my favorites. I just added them right here in my toolbar. Okay. Does that help?
Toolbar. Is that for, okay, this is, okay. The toolbar is just for the work, Google Docs area?
The toolbar is on my computer for what I want, what I use most of the time. And you can set that in your settings as to what sites you want it to open every time you go to your computer and turn on your computer. It will automatically include those settings.
Yeah.
So that you don't have to look them up.
I understand that. And I have that. But I like the fact that the main ones are up front and center versus having to go down the list to find them.
Right. It depends on how many you have. Sometimes, you know, like it'll take 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It'll take about 7 that'll show. Mm-hmm. And so I had to decide what was my 7 most important ones, because see here, this little arrow, those are my hidden favorites.
Yeah.
So I have to go down the list to find the other favorites. So I just wanted these to be toward the top. So I moved them to the top so that they would show.
Yeah, I think I've got to rearrange a few.
Yeah, sometimes you do. Sometimes you just have to move the ones you use all the time up front. So, you know, to the top of your list so that they show up. So is this helpful for everyone?
Yes.
When you're writing or blogging, and again, I started doing magazine articles and I'm repurposing. So I'm writing a blog post first and I'm going to PLR, but sometimes, and again, Sherry and I've had this conversation quite a bit, Sherry, daughter and I, because she writes so technical, you know, about her subject matter that PLR isn't going to have an article for her. It'll have a very generic article maybe about, you know, education or something that she can make into an article for her, but she needs something a little more specific. And so she's found some other folks that are writing about what she's writing about, but she doesn't want to plagiarize. And sometimes we accidentally plagiarize. Sometimes, you know, and again, I've sat under the teachings of Cary Oberbrunner for so long that I will use some of his phrases, you know, like show up, build up. We've all heard that one. You know, well, if I'm not careful, for folks that don't know Cary, and that don't know me may consider that my phrase. And it's not my phrase. And every time I say that, I don't go, like my favorite person says, show up. I don't always add that to the beginning. And so we have to be careful sometimes when we're writing or when we're publishing that we don't sometimes be accused of plagiarizing when that really, truly was not our intent. And so this is just a great way to rewrite and double check some of those articles. And when in doubt, rewrite it. If you go back to an article and you're like, boy, I can't remember exactly where I got all of my information. So, you know, pop it into, you know, I start first. Sometimes I'll go in reverse. Sometimes I'll start first with check my paper for the plagiarism. And I'll pop it in here first, and then it'll tell me where it came from. And then I'll go, oh yeah, I don't want to use that. I liked that paragraph, but I don't want to publish that because it's not mine. And so that's then when I can jump over to this article rewriter and I can rewrite that paragraph. But then when I rewrite it, I always go back and double check it backwards again and make sure. Because once you check it here, it'll tell you the percentage of uniqueness. So I always double check it. And my goal is to always be 80% or better. Is that helpful for everyone? I hope. Yeah. So it really works well. And it's a great way to get started. So if you found an article that has a lot of what you want to say in it, you can certainly pop over there and rewrite it. Now, again, that becomes your PLR. That does not become your article. You don't just take that and publish that. That becomes your PLR. That becomes your outline. You still want to make it yours. You still want to weave your story in through that article. You want to make it more personal even than that. Even though that paragraph that I just did shows 100% uniqueness, I will go in and somewhere in that paragraph, I will either weave in my story or I will take one of my quotes that's truly one of my quotes and put it in the center of that article just to make it even more unique.
Okay. I'm sorry, I was so focused on what you were saying, I forgot to write it down. And so could you just back up to where you said, now that's not what you go out and publish, that article, what do you do?
I will go back and make it even more unique. So let's just go to my original here, and here's where I copied that. And then I go to my article rewriter. So step two is I'll rewrite it. I click on that. So it's rewriting the text. So there's where it's rewritten. So now I copy that one. Uh-huh. And I go to now to check to see how unique this one is, which is step three. So now I'll check my essay. And there's where it's checking it. It's going out across the internet, seeing any other article that has any of those sentences. And it tells me that it's 100% unique. So now this is just the paragraph. For many real estate agents, the idea of financial freedom sounds like a pipe dream. Sure, it would be nice if you didn't have to worry about working with your phone, scheduling a house opening or selling a certain number of homes to support your lifestyle, but the idea of working less is quite inconceivable and for good reason. So I might stop there and say, put in my story. I remember when I first started, for example, in real estate investing. See, so I might put a little bit of my story right in there before I move on. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Make it even more unique.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Says real estate is a difficult profession. The competition is fierce. And when the market is hectic, you have very little time to stop and catch your breath. So it's no surprise that many real estate agents are constantly in a state of stress, worrying about when they'll reach the level of success that will allow them to step back and really make the most of it, enjoy the fruits of their labor. And so again, I might put another little story in there. Like, you know, I started, you know, 20 years ago. And it took me 20 years before I felt comfortable enough that I could step back and actually consider my real estate business passive income. See, so I can weave in where I want to go with that information. This basically think of this kind of like your original PLR, where you just picked up a generic kind of article, and now you know that you're not plagiarizing anyone else, and now you want to make it your own by adding your own little takeaways.
Wow, that makes it seem simple.
It's just a faster way to get to the end, because I have quite, you know, again, I love that Sally's traveling. I love to travel. We just got back ourselves from New York City. And so now I have to present Wednesday night. And my topic is, what is your freedom number? And why it's important to know what yours is. And so now here I am, I'm thinking, okay, I have to present on that. So that the first thing that I did, and I always click over top of my article and I lose my article. Sorry about that. So let me find my article again. So the first thing that I did is I just looked up on the internet. I just typed in my subject that I wanted to talk about. And this is the original article that I found. And I just copy and pasted it. And the original article I found was called The Freedom Number, What It Is and Why You Need to Know Yours. And this is the original article. And all I did was just grab a copy of it. Okay. Now, I can't use this article because it's not mine. But that's where I started. See? And look at the great topics. Won't this make a great presentation? When I start at the top, it's the freedom number, what it is, and why you need to know yours. And as I go down, look at these great topics. Understanding your freedom number. That's a great topic. Figuring out your financial freedom number. That's a great topic. Scrolling on down. The difference between a goal and a plan. That's a great topic. So you see where I'm like, oh my gosh, there's my presentation right there for this group of real estate investors, but I can't use it because it's not mine. I don't want to print it. I don't want to blog. I don't want to use that as a blog. I don't want to put that in my course. I don't want to put that in a PowerPoint that somebody might copy and say, Kathy said, because this is not my article. Are you with me? So that's why then I take this article and I put it through the paces. I put it into the article rewriter. Then I put it into the check my paper. I come up with my own article. I put my own examples in there. And what it did is it gave me a fast track to write my presentation for Wednesday night. Okay. Questions, comments.
So how do you figure out your freedom number? Or is that a whole nother class?
Well, and that's what I'm getting ready to write. See, I found the article, then I've rewritten it. Now I'm going to go in and I'm going to spell out, because I know when I'm teaching, you want to have an odd number. So you want to have the three ways to find your freedom number, the five ways to reach your goal or whatever. So, but if you start to get more than five, that's a long presentation for a group. So I noticed in that one, I had three big subtitles in that article. So I may even change up my title before it's over and make it the three ways to discover what your freedom number is. And then what I'll do is I'll go back to that article. And when I actually start to work on this article, see, I'll make understanding your freedom number would be step one. And that's where we get into what is your freedom number? You know, at the moment when your monthly expenses are covered and there's enough money left over to do the things you enjoy, travel, be with family, take up a new hobby or help others, you've reached your freedom number. So you have to decide what is that financial number. So step number two is figuring out that financial number. Now that you know what it is you want to cover, now you got to figure out what that is. So a lot of people just say, oh, I want to save X amount of dollars because that's when I can do what I want to do. But again, you have to figure out how are you going to get that freedom number coming in month after month. So that'll be my step two, is showing folks how to figure out their financial freedom number. And then when I get down here to step three, I then want to explain to them the difference between having a goal, because maybe that's their goal, is to have that freedom number. But what's their plan? What's their plan on how they're going to get there? And so then I'll talk about ways to create their plan. Okay, so that's going to be my presentation. And I got all of that from finding an article, and the title of the article that I found, and I just put in, you know, what is your freedom number? This article came up, the freedom number, what it is and why you need to know yours. So I just grabbed that article just the way it was written, just to, so I didn't lose it. How many times have you left the internet after you found something and then you couldn't find it again? You're like, what, where was that? So I grabbed it. I just copied and pasted it into a Google Doc. And I made sure that I made a note right here that this was my original, so that I know this is not mine. It's the original one right off of the internet. So I know that is not mine. But when I look here at my list, see, here is my original freedom number. Here's my freedom number rewritten. And for me, I like the little asterisks. And see here, what is your favorite way to launch your digital product? There's an asterisk. That means I've rewritten it. Planning the challenge, picking a topic, I've rewritten it. See, it's got an asterisk. Step-by-step guide for creating landing pages, I've got an asterisk. Getting folks into your five-day challenge, I've got an asterisk. Every time there's an asterisk in front of my title, I know that's my signal to me that that's already been rewritten. I've already run it through the paces. I've already put it in the article rewriter, then I've already checked it over in the plagiarism site. And I already know that I can use these the way they are here. They are now 80% or better unique for me. Does that make sense? You have to have a system so you know which one's like, see, again, this is the original. Now, once I get this one cleaned up, I'll erase this one, this original one. Okay. I'll get rid of it. Once I get this one all cleaned up, I won't need to have the word rewritten. I'll just have the asterisk in front of it, and I'll know that that's my rewritten article. So my goal now for the next, for, you know, later today or tomorrow, is to clean this one up and make it my own, and to turn these headings into my three-step process: understanding your freedom number, figuring out your financial freedom number, and the difference between a goal and a plan. So that's going to be my presentation for Wednesday night. And I'm just going to have those three headings. And then I'm going to speak live, but I'll have that in a PowerPoint. Once I get that article cleaned up, then I can take those different paragraphs and put them into a PowerPoint. And that'll be my presentation for Wednesday for my group. This is not my group, actually. This is a different group, and they've asked me to speak. And I'll give you a little bit of background on this one. I, of course, teach, you know, real estate investing. That's one of my lanes. And this group is somewhat guarded because they do the exact same thing I do. And so I started attending, but I will always uplift them in their group. I'll never sell my products when I'm speaking to their group. So when I teach this particular thing Wednesday night, I am going to refer everyone in the room over to that person's course and coaching. I'm going to say, and if anybody needs some help figuring out their freedom number, get in touch with this couple, because that's, you know, they have some coaching courses and some actual online courses that will help you with that. So I am going to promote them. I'm not going to promote me. I'm going to promote them. And because they know that, they are traveling and they've asked me to take over their group for Wednesday night. They're not even going to be there. And they've asked me to run their group Wednesday night because they know I'm going to show up. They know I'm going to have content that is going to work for their group. And they know that I'm not going to step on their toes, that I'm going to promote them.
But if they have a question or they want to do a follow-up with you, then that's what they'll do to be able to answer questions in their group, right?
Correct. Now, I'll answer as many questions as I can in a generic way, but right. I will not end my presentation by saying, everybody go to KathyBenner.com and scroll down to the Happy House Hunters and join the mastermind group. I won't do that. But here's what I know. I still am borrowing their audience, because while I'm speaking, everybody knows that I'm Kathy Benner. And everyone in that room is smart enough to Google Kathy Benner. And And they'll see that I have a website, and there's going to be a certain number that will check out what it is that I'm doing. Just because when I stand up and speak, it makes me the authority on the subject. Just because I'm the one speaking on your freedom number, it'll make me the authority on that subject. And so folks that, you know, I'm after the newbies. And so folks that are like, oh my gosh, I really need to work more about my freedom number, I'm going to connect with Kathy. Well, as soon as they find me under Google, KathyBenner.com, and click on that to see what I'm all about, the very first thing they're going to see all the way down my homepage is schedule a strategy session with Kathy at no obligation. And so there's going to be a certain number of them that will do that, but I do not need to say that at that presentation at all.
No. Yeah.
Because again, I want to promote the folks that run that organization. Mm. And I've had them speak at mine, and then I've told them that they're welcome to advertise themselves, and they were shocked because they were like, but this is your group, because they wanted to honor the fact that I don't advertise myself when I'm in their group. So, but then I advertised for them. I said, yes. And anybody, you know, just there's their website if you want to check, because I know people are going to check it out anyway. But there's a difference between, you know, holding on too tight and then giving more and knowing that the tide rises all the ships. And so I choose to give more knowing that the tide rises all the ships. And the folks that need to be in my circle will end up there, and the folks that need to be in theirs will end up there. And consequently, that's made us together as a team, myself with that other couple, that makes us stronger, because they know that I'm not out to try to steal any of their business.
Right. That's right.
Okay. So comments, questions. How is everyone doing writing their blog post? Again, this is another way to, you know, it's like PLR. It's another way to get a great outline as a starting point. If you're struggling getting started, if you think, oh, I need to sit down and write a blog post. And when you start to do your research, if you're like me, if I think, okay, here's what I want to write about. And well, the first thing I want to do is I want to research what is everybody else, you know, what are the trends? What's everybody else asking in that subject matter? And then when I go out and see all of these articles, I see some great articles. And so now here's a way where I can utilize some of that information in my research.
Okay. I got it.
I love it.
Yeah, all of my articles are in my head. So
Sally, I appreciate that. And I understand that sometimes in your travels, it's hard to get all of those on paper. I know, because you've seen a lot here just in the last few days. And I imagine that all along you're thinking, I could write about that. I could blog about this. I could, you know, because information is endless out there. And it's all the stuff that we all want to know. We all want to know how your travels were. And, you know, travel blogs are huge. Because there's a lot of folks that just want to live vicarious through you. And then there's other folks that are doing their research because they do want to take a trip like that, and they want to see what's available. So your blog post will be part of their research. So yeah, it's important for you to get it down on paper, but it is tough. It is tough finding the time. Shall and we? Sometimes you're just tired and you have to take a little break.
Couldn't she just like pick up her phone and give herself a recording so she can just, you know, on the spot write or say it into the phone, and then later on she's got that note to write down.
I mean, there's to me, all that kinds would be easier. Of yeah. There's all kinds of ways to make those notes to help trigger your memory to go back to write about a particular topic. And everybody says, Kathy, which one should I use? And my answer is always use the one that you'll actually use. Yeah. Use the one that works for you. And everyone is different. Some folks like to jot down in a little notebook. I tried the Steno book for the stenographer notebook for a while because it's small enough that it'll slide even into a you know, a medium-sized handbag, and I can always have my little Steno book with me. And I found that my notes just seemed to have gotten lost, you know, pages and pages and pages. And I go back and read a note later and I'm like, what in the world? What did that mean? What did I write that down for? I don't even know now what I was thinking or what was going on at the time. And so, because I always have my phone with me, one of the things that just a little app that works for me, and it's called Note. I don't know if you can see it here. And yeah. You can just make a list. You can make a checklist. You can do a paragraph. And on my phone, I don't think it'll show up. It's right there in the center. And mm-hmm. It's the app just says Note. It's a yellow. It looks like a sticky note. It's just a yellow little sticky note. And it has in red the word Note across it. And that's the app. Oh, it's called Color Note. I'm sorry. The app is called Color Note. And so once you're in there, see, you can make it any color you want. You can choose what color you want to highlight your notes. And so I make my shopping list one color. I make things that I do for travel or whatever, a different color. I do my storytelling in purple, actually. And so you can either make checklists or paragraphs. And if I'm, and you can also record to it. So you can hit the little keyboard like you're going to type, and the microphone comes up, and if you talk, it'll just record it right into a note. And so I use a purple for my writing. And if I just have a sentence or two or three, or I want to talk into the phone about a storyline that's been in my head, I'll just talk it right into my color note. And then I can always copy and paste that over into my Google Docs if I want to expand that. But it's a place to just keep sentences or a thought or a theme or, you know, something that I want to come back and revisit and I don't want to forget it. So I can just pop it into my color notes. And it's right there on my phone. I've got it all the time. I can type in it or I can talk in it. So if I'm with a group of folks and I don't, you know, want to go off and start talking in it, like when we were in New York City, and we were riding the bus around, you know, it was the hop on, hop off bus, which is wonderful in New York City. It's a great way to see the city because they narrate everything you're seeing while you're on the bus. You get to, it's almost like a guided tour. And so while we were on the bus listening, I could make notes, see, in my color note of things that I wanted to write about. So hopefully that is a helpful little tip.
Yeah, you just reminded me I had that.
Okay. Now I do want to share and show you one more thing here, and let me find it. This, of course, is my Academy page, and this is how you guys see it if you tap in. And when you scroll down, here is the bloggers right here, and here's the course. And so if I click on the course, it's going to open that up. And there's the course. And so now, and you guys in the mastermind all have this. And so now when I scroll down, these are the different topics we've been going through. Step one was to pick a blog name. Step two was to get your blog online. Step three was to customize your blog. Four is how to write and publish. And five is how to promote. So today we're talking about promoting. And then in December, we're going to talk about making money. So if we talk about the promoting, and I'm not going to go through and read this. This is the actual course, and you guys can go in here and go through this. But creating a well-designed blog and writing great content, that's just the start. You have to somehow promote it. So email marketing is huge, 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 huge. And so I can email market mine right through the school, because in the school, I have everybody that signs up, even for a free meetup, I have their email address. So the two places where I have the most emails is in the school itself and in my meetup group. So if you're on a particular topic, I recommend that you have a meetup group, because everybody that signs up for your meetup group automatically puts their email in. Now, the meetup group doesn't give you the email, but you can go there and email all your members of your group. And if you have a place where you're going to do content like Thinkific or Teachable or one of those platforms, it also allows you to email your membership. And so email marketing, huge, 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 huge. And so I email all of my folks every week. And those of you today on this call probably get an email from me reminding you of the meetups coming up for this week. It's like a little newsletter that goes out every Sunday. It's showing everybody, you know, what the groups that, you know, when we're going to meet and what we're going to talk about. So why is email overlooked? I don't know. Email's been around since the beginning of the internet. And it's the one place where if some of your social media gets shut down, like we don't know what's going to happen with Twitter these days, but if that had been your main social media where you're reaching your group and it somehow disappears, then how are you going to get to your group? Because you don't have all of those emails, but if you have their email addresses, that gives you a way to get to them, even if some of those social media sites happen to not exist. And we don't know. We don't know what's going to, I don't think it's going to go away. I don't think Twitter's going to go away. I think it'll recover at some level. I just don't know what that's going to look like. So then I talk about what are the benefits of an email list and then building your email subscriber list. That's always the tough one. And again, I do my free meetups. Anybody that taps into one of my free meetups on Zoom, I have, and we talked about this once before, I moved all my free meetups over to the webinar side of Zoom because folks have to register to get into the free meetup. And what that means is they have to put in their email address. And if they want to attend a free meetup, they don't seem to mind. And what that does is that automatically gives me their email addresses. Okay. So that's one of the ways that I can collect email addresses. Now, social networks is another way. You can comment on other blogs. If there's somebody that's blogging in your lane, it's kind of the same subject matter as you, you can start making comments. And guess what? Folks that are reading that blog will say, who is this Ruth gal that's always commenting? Let me check her out. You know, she seems to know her stuff because she always makes a positive comment about this, whatever the person's blogging about. So let me go check Ruth out. And that happens on social media too, by the way. You can have link to other blogs inside your blog. And as soon as you link to another blog, they, of course, are going to check you out. And if you are giving, just like the story I told you where I always give the gal kudos, that's doing the same thing I'm doing in real estate investing, she's now got me running her meeting. She has me taking over her group for a week because she has grown to trust me. And so when you link to other blogs, those other bloggers will start to trust you. You can do guest posting to get your information out there. There are online forums, and I'm going to give you a list of those. Frequent posting is very important. And again, at least once a week, but preferably every couple of days. I'm posting every day in one of my groups. I don't post in every group every day, but I post every day in one of my groups. And so just get into the habit of posting. And so let's go on to the next one is to build and promote your brand. So promote your personal brand. So whether you're self-employed or you work for someone else, one of the most important aspects of business is personal branding. That's why I also recommend that you use your name. Again, I've wanted to refer folks back to, and here's a perfect example. Ruth's been in the same tribe with me, with Carrie, and I wanted to refer somebody to Nikki Klagel the other day. I couldn't tell you what the name of her business is, but I remembered Nikki Klagel. And so use your name, even if you have another name around your business or you're promoting another phrase, make sure that if somebody Googles your name, that your stuff will come up. Okay. So promote your personal brand. You know, it just embrace that. And then stop playing it small. How many of us are just like, we're getting ready to get ready? You know, stop playing it small. Just get out there and be a voice that people listen to. Start commenting. Network, network, network. And again, went to, I interviewed somebody in Delaware, Ohio, Saturday. I was invited to be the interviewer because they've heard my interviews and they were launching their book and they wanted me to interview them. And then I'm just giving them the whole video of the interview for them to use, but they wanted me to be the interviewer. And there were folks in the audience that came up later and said, Kathy Benner, we've heard about you. I'm like, what? And I'm in Delaware, Ohio. And they're like, yeah, we've heard about you. Yeah, we've heard a lot about you from our networking groups. And I'm like, okay, so be your own publicist. So get yourself out there, join forces in some of those. Like I joined with this other, real estate group where they're doing the same thing I'm doing, but I give more when I get there. I always give more every time I get there. And that is your image. And when she posted in her group, she even said something about Kathy Binner is going to be our speaker and she is such a giver. I mean, she actually put that in the post when she advertised me. So that's what you want to be known for. Now there's 20 major website directories. You do not have to try to copy these down. These are in the course. You guys all have the course because you're in the mastermind. And if you go to the course, they're actually linked. So you can go right here and get to any of these links. And these are places where you can put your blog if you want to start getting your blog out there. Okay, if you're comfortable enough now with your blogs that you want to start spreading them out there, in addition to the social media and your email list and all those other things that you're doing, these are places where you can publish your blog. And the list is in the site. Okay, so that's what I have to share today. And so you can go to the course and find those links and get yourself published. And the more you get published, the more you'll get published. And let me say that again, the more you publish, the more you'll get published. I started publishing my blog and next thing you know, I am now I'm the freelance contributor for the Columbus Quarterly Magazine. And they come to me every quarter for my article. I'm on their repeat list to write an article every quarter. And then I advertise that in my newsletter when I send out my weekly newsletter. And I'll just share that again. So if I can find, there it is. If I can go back to my Google Docs, here is where I did my announcements for this week. This is what went out this week. And here we are, Monday the 14th, the newbie bloggers. And then on Friday, I've got the connections over coffee, our time to rise. And then, of course, my calendar. So folks can tap right into my calendar. I've got all the links. My link tree is right in there. Here, of course, is my book with a link right to my book. And right here is the magazine, the Connected Columbus magazine. And I've got the link to subscribe. And then I've got the link directly to my article. And so I put that in every newsletter. And again, this goes out on an email list. See, I've got an email list and they get this weekly update every Sunday night, my entire email list. And here's what I want to tell you. Not one person has unsubscribed since I started doing that. Not one. Not one. And they can, because it has on every time it goes out, there is a button at the bottom that says they can unsubscribe, and not one has unsubscribed. Now, not everybody shows up, but, and I don't know about you, but I do it all the time. I have, you know, I get too busy and I'm like, oh, I don't have time to do all of that. So I might delete it, but I don't unsubscribe from it. Because it's still information I'm interested in, and I had investigated something, either an article or a book or a summit. I clicked through and they got my email address somehow at some point. And so I think, well, maybe later I'll have time to circle back around and do that. And sometimes I'll even read the email and I'll go, oh, I wish I could do that summit, but I can't because I got other stuff already booked during that time. So then I delete it, but I don't unsubscribe from it. Because maybe, just maybe, sometimes when that hits my inbox, I'll have time to do it. And so I let it keep coming. Now, as long as they're not blowing my inbox up. So that's another lesson for all of us. Don't blow up their stuff to where they go, oh my God, I got to unsubscribe from this girl because I get 40 things a day. My whole email is nothing, you know, nothing but Kathy Binner. So let me get rid of her. And so I email once a week. Okay, questions? Debbie, I can see the wheels turning.
Yeah, they are actually. I realized when I did the interview on Friday that I did it Friday night with just the two of us. And when I went to post it, I realized, oh man, I didn't have Ruth's on there. I didn't have Linda's on there. And it actually took me 2 days to find them. And in trial and error, but so I completed it. It's now all up to date. But what I'm finding a seeing is that I need to be more out there with the meetup group. I need to be out there advertising it more. And I've failed at that this year. I did it this month, but kind of last minute.
Well, I do one thing, and this might be helpful for you. One thing on the meetups that I do is I just update once I know who is going to be on my meetup. I'll just update that event as we go. And I'll show you what that looks like, Debbie.
Thank you.
All right, so here are the meetup groups. And if I click on your groups, these are all the ones that come up for me. Okay, right. So these are my meetup groups. And so this, I want to pick one where I interview somebody different each time. This Ohio Writers Guild, I interview someone different each month, just like you're doing on your Fireside Chat here. And the reason this comes up is because I'm a co-admin for you, which is why it comes up in my groups. It shows me as a co-admin. The rest of them shows me as the admin, and it shows somebody different as the co-admin. So when I click on Ohio Writers and let that open up, this is my cover picture, which is like yours. You have a cover picture. And I then scroll down, and this tells the general what we're about. Okay. Right. But then when I get down into the events, and this is probably a bad example because the next time is our Christmas party, but let me go down to past events and see all, and I'll show you what I did. See if it'll open. So here are my past events. So once I knew that I was going to be interviewing Kelly Kearns, all I did is I went in and I edited just this one event. I didn't edit, because you know, in Meetup, you can create an event and then you can duplicate it and it'll say, what, the first Tuesday of every month, and bloop, it just automatically populates all of your events. So then I go into the one, like Kelly, I was going to interview her on Monday, November 7th. So I just went into just that one and I just updated it with Kelly Kearns. And then I put a little bio at the beginning. I didn't put in, and let's see if it'll let me open this up. Nope, it won't, because it's already passed. But what I did is I just put her information. I didn't change the rest of the thing. I just changed, I just changed the picture and I changed the first paragraph is all I did. So I added this picture and all I did down to this line right here, I added this. This is the same. This is what is on all of them. All I did was I just changed the picture and I popped in this paragraph at the beginning. That's all I did.
Okay. Well, that's huge. That's
and so what I did is see now that actually, and let's see if it'll let me go backwards. That let me market her.
Right.
Oh, of course it's not gonna let me. That let me market her. So let me go back to my meetup. And then I can show you the rest of them. But I won't open them because when I open them, it doesn't let me go back. Oh, it's going to make me log in. There it is. Your groups. I got too many tabs open. And there's Ohio Writers. Nope, it's going to error again.
Well, I understand what you showed there. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a huge help for me.
So now when I get down to the past events, because again, the future ones is our Christmas party, because I don't have a speaker coming in this month. So now when I come down, now that you see what I did, see, here's where I interviewed Roy Bradshaw I changed the picture and I added his paragraph at the beginning. Here's where I interviewed Sherry Postal. I added her picture and added just a paragraph at the beginning, just on that one meetup. And here's where I did the Tilly Green book series by Brittany Crawford. And I just added about Brittany and I took it right off of her Amazon page, right off of her author page. See, and here was Lynn Modransky. And then I just put a little blurb about Lynn. And I took it right off of either their email or their website or their author page, wherever I found their about me page.
So that's where you were able to get a picture.
Yes.
To use. Okay.
Yes. Yes. And sometimes if it's somebody that hasn't really marketed themselves, they might have a LinkedIn at least. And so sometimes you can get their picture off of LinkedIn or off of their Facebook. Here's where, again, I didn't even have a blurb about him. I just put him in there. Here's Christy Larrabee. You've interviewed Christy.
Yeah.
Now all the way back here in April, see, I didn't have a particular person that particular time. Here's where I did Elliot Parker. I didn't have a particular person that time. See, this is my generic cover. But you see how different it is when you put in who it is that you're interviewing.
Uh-huh. I do.
And if their picture doesn't fit, because notice how this is kind of an oblong kind of picture, and sometimes their picture is more square, you can pop it into Canva.
Okay.
And that's what I did with Elliot. And I just put Elliot Parker, author. And I just try to make whatever I do. And see, her picture was oblong up and down, and I needed it to be oblong back and forth. And so I put her and a copy of her book in Canva. Yeah. And you see where my background color, I tried to complement the colors that they're using either on their websites. I try to match their colors. Okay. So that if they wanted to use this, they could. If they wanted to use the Canva thing that I made, they could, because it matches their websites. Oh. Is that helpful?
Very. Thank you very much for sharing that.
Anyway, that's the fast way to market who it is that you're interviewing. And then you can take that link to just that event and post it across your social media, and it'll populate right into your social media.
Yeah. So I'm real. And what I'm also doing is sending the link to each person that I interviewed so they can use it.
Yes.
However.
So now,
that, Ruth.
Again, back in my meetup, if it's a free one, I've got the webinar registration link is what's advertised there.
Okay. Right. Well, I'm going to use the link from YouTube.
Okay.
Yes.
I get what you're saying. Okay. Perfect. Okay.
Thank you.
I love it. All right. So, biggest takeaway, Debbie, what was your biggest takeaway today?
How to really use the format in using things, articles that I find online to use, so that I don't have to use any more brain cells to do this. I mean, I have very few.
But sometimes that's where we get stuck. You know, like if somebody just put a blank piece of paper in front of me and said, Kathy, you're presenting to a group of investors Wednesday night. What are you going to talk about? I'm like,
Exactly.
And it gives me some place.
It's like, and yes. So I used a lot of brain cells this weekend working on that YouTube. So now I had to let it calm down last night.
I get it. Yes. I understand. Absolutely. Ruth, how about you? What is your biggest takeaway?
I think it's a little bit of everything. By the way, I do need to give you an update. I am publishing now. I'm publishing a blog.
I'm excited.
I'm not really ready to market it yet because I'm still working on the format.
Okay.
But basically, I'm taking... It's taken me a while to get the format figured out with WordPress, and I've had to talk to different people and stuff. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've been doing the little snippets on social media for quite a while now. And so that I really start with a blog, I write it, and then I break it up and put it into social media. So where I am right now is figuring, well, I won't say that because I've got it figured out, but I need to get more comfortable with it.
Okay.
How to put images into the blog, you know, just do like a little paragraph or two and then do an image, a little paragraph, do an image. And like I've worked on it a lot in the last week and it's getting a lot faster. But I'm sort of in that stage of, you know, how you talked about before you really promote a blog, you need to have a bank of them. So that's why I consider where I am. I'm creating my bank. And even the first, I think it's the first two that I haven't gone back and redid with images. And I may do that or I may just start, you know, but yeah, I'm publishing now. So yeah.
I am so excited. Now we have a Facebook group for the newbie bloggers. Once you're ready, put it over there, put the link over there.
Okay.
Because that's a group full of wannabe bloggers or bloggers or whatever. And so you'll get some kudos over there. See, you'll get some folks that'll be sharing your blog and whatever, because they're all in it to, you know, the tide rises all the ships. So post over there in the Facebook. Bless you, Sally.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so post over there.
And it's also figuring out how long I want them, because I'm finding out that the articles that I wanted to write are probably at least two blogs and maybe three or four, depending on how long you want them. And so I'm finding I'm like the one I'm working on right now, I think it's going to actually be four blogs.
Okay.
Instead of just two, and spread it out because people don't have time to read a long article.
Right. And that's why everybody loves a blog article, because they can read it in a few minutes and it gets to the point and they can then move on with something they can use. So yes, I love that.
So that's where I am. And so, yeah, a lot of this is probably going to be saved till later. Right now, I don't have trouble thinking what I want to do.
Okay. I mean,
but also part of that reason is I'm working through this book.
Right.
You know, and
you
so
rewrite it?
No. But I like
she's using it to segue into her blog post.
Yeah. Gotcha. See, like this one, the blog post that I'm working on right now, the beginning sentence of this is I created an unhealthy love pattern. Okay. And so then I just took that and expanded on it. And a lot of it came from this, that chapter. And it's probably going to be two or three blogs.
Now, we're not on the topic this month, but once you blog, put your links at the bottom or throughout your blog, wherever you want to put your links, that either link back to the book, link back to what you're doing, because that's how you're going to monetize that blog.
Oh, I also did my Amazon affiliate.
Yay!
My only concern is I did this several years ago and I did never get anybody doing anything because I wasn't out there enough. And if you don't get anything, then they shut it down.
Right. And then if you've got that affiliate embedded into your blogs and you have to reapply, you got to go back and update your affiliate link. You got to remember what blogs you put it in so you can update it with the correct one. So I recommend that you find a girlfriend or a family member that has a different last name that orders all the time from Amazon and have them order through your affiliate link.
And a different address too.
Yeah. And a different address. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that'll keep your affiliate active. Debbie ordered out of mine the first time and that activated me.
Yeah. We order a lot.
Yeah.
So Debbie, were you volunteering?
Yeah.
I was, yes.
Yeah, so do that. So connect with each other and do that, because that'll keep you active.
So how do I, well, I guess if she even looks at something that I'm sending out, and then whatever else she buys counts.
Correct. Mm-hmm. She just has to click through on your affiliate link to get over to Amazon.
Okay.
And the link would be in the blog post that you're going to do, right?
Right. Which I've already got some out there as social media.
Okay.
As long as the link says Amazon, I can send you one though.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll send you over one. Perfect. But thank you. But yeah, it's moving, you know, and I can see it. And, you know, even like what we talked about before is, well, even like these blogs I'm written, there's at least one Amazon affiliate link in there and some often two or three because I promote books.
Yes.
Yes.
That's perfect. Ooh. That's perfect. And wow. and I'm a huge, you know, audio listener. And so even if I go over and look at a book, I may purchase the audio version of it.
And that helps. And that counts.
Still counts. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I can promote a lot of books.
Yeah. See, once you open up the floodgates, you know what I mean? The opportunities are there.
I just pre-ordered a new one last night that Harris Faulkner has written, and it's called Faith That Can Move Mountains. And I saw her program last night on Fox. It was amazing, absolutely amazing. So I can get on there and promote the book. And the rerun is tonight. So if you have any, so.
Debbie, think you've just have tons of information right there. You could actually choose what your biggest takeaway was from watching that, and you could blog about that and promote the book within your blog.
Ooh.
It gives you something to blog about. And all you have to do in your blog is tie it in with your story on why it resonated with you.
Oh, and it did.
Yeah.
It opened floodgates.
Yeah. So you see where I'm going with that. So we all have constant material that we can write about. And it's just finding the time to get it down on paper. But the more authentic we are, the bigger our readership will be.
Right.
So Debbie, did you ever do that stuff we talked about last month about just recording what your day was as you work on your garden and your different things?
No.
That's your big one.
I'm guilty.
But you know what? It'll come. But just take the stuff that you're doing, like watching that show. That's a perfect opportunity. Just your daily stuff that you're doing anyway, and just, you know, blogging about that. Those are all so easy that we overlook them. We overlook those things.
And here's the ironic thing. I saw the commercial and I said I wanted to watch it. I forgot to go in and record it. And I was watching a recorded movie and it ended 2 minutes. And when I deleted the movie I was watching, her program came up with her saying her last two sentences, and I'm going, oh. So I was able to rewind it, watch it, but then I was also able to go in and set the recorder for the new edition. It was like God knew I wanted to watch it, I forgot, and he saved me.
As always happens.
It does, always.
Oh, Sally, what's your big takeaway today?
Well, as usual, it's like I need to I have so many ideas. I have so many things I can blog about. I don't have to research articles. I mean, like I said, when I said they're in my head, it's not because I haven't let them out. It's just, well, I haven't, but they are in my head. So I was thinking, okay, Italy, there's so many practical information like the water taxi and, you know, what do you do if you miss your flight, you know, things like that. But I can go overboard on that without even getting into the sights and sounds of Italy. Like in St. Mark's Square, they were having a graduation ceremony and it was just like,
oh, wow.
A graduation ceremony here, you know, they call out names and people would yell and, you know, the graduates were around town. And so it's like it is here, you know.
Mm-hmm. And folks that don't travel don't understand that. You know, folks that haven't traveled or don't travel, they don't get that. that we're more alike than we are different.
Yes, I always say that. And you know, and then I realized I really need to do like a YouTube, because I learned some of the reasons for the hand signals, you know, the gestures that Italians make, and you know, that they not is some of them aren't what you think they are, you know, but I can't write about that. I have to show that. So right, I have several in all my trips, starting with our honeymoon train trip that I haven't blogged about. There's been the honeymoon, there's been New York City, there's, you know, Italy, there's a plethora of things I can blog about or make a video about. So
I love it. Yeah. It's really just finding, I'll call it a habit or a system or a time. It's just something that you can put into your daily activities that get you from point A to point B. For example, I was just saying earlier that I post across my social media every day. And I just do that first thing every morning as I just make my post before I get on with my day. And I just put that into my routine. So I think that's probably my biggest takeaway is creating some sort of a routine that works
absolutely
for you.
Yeah.
Where you can just start, because you can't do it all at once. You've got, you can envision what this looks like. And you're like, oh, if I only had my website done and my courses done and 20 blog posts already ready to publish, and, you know, and then that's overwhelming. And so you don't do any of it because it's too big of a project. And you, and again, it's like eating the elephant one bite at a time. You have to just take one little thing that you're going to do every day. And after a while that grows into something.
Yeah.
And I think that's the key for me, is to just come up with whatever that routine is that works for me.
But I did, Kathy, when I think maybe it was last month or the month before. I think it was last month because it was after New York City. I did focus more on the sights and sounds and the smells and, you know, what you can tell stories about, rather than just the beautiful buildings and the sceneries and things like that.
Yes. I did that too when we were in New York this time. We were there for 3 days, and I noticed the temperature, I noticed the sunshine, I noticed the different languages, what I was hearing. As we were passing the different delis and pizza shops, I noticed the smells. So yeah, I get that. And so the more you can weave those into your writing, the more interesting your writing will be.
Mm-hmm. Can I add one more story?
Sure.
And I was amazed. And I'll make a brief. One of the brief stories Harris talked about, and it's in her book, was, I believe it was a year ago or 2 years ago, there was an EF4 hurricane down south, destroyed the town. And in her story, she had a survivor, and it was video also with the story. And the lady hid, and you're all familiar with this, her prayer closet in her house. That was the only thing still standing, which saved her, because the rest of her house around her was gone.
Wow.
It was, I mean, amazing. And she stayed in her room. And that's what protected her. And gives you chills when you think about the implication of what this prayer room is and how strong her faith was. So that's all I'll say. It was just very, very, the story was very good. So.
So the story, her being a storyteller, is what drew you in, and you could picture everything she was talking about. So when we write, that's how we want to write, is that we want to paint that verbal picture for our readers, which is what makes your writing a lot more interesting. So just keep that in mind as you're writing.
Yeah. The minister, and I'm sure we've all seen him on television. He kind of came out a lot when Trump ran for president and when Trump was president. He's a skinny little guy and he's really quirky. So, and he's the one that, or she interviewed, I don't want to say interviewed him, but they talked about how this came to being, how her faith has grown. And I can't describe it. It's just, you got to see it to believe, you know, to understand, not believe, understand what they were talking about, and even into the military. So anyways.
Well, it sounds like it made a great impact on you, and that would be a great blog, but to weave into it why it impacted you so much. And then an affiliate link to her book, and you've got a winner.
I do. That's for sure, because I can put that anywhere. And
yeah,
anywhere I put it, people will go to buy the book. Oh, yes.
Through your affiliate link.
The other thing, Debbie, is to not only how it affected you, but how does it relate to your story?
Yes. Thank you, Ruth. Yes, absolutely. Yes. Because at the end of the day, you're trying to monetize what you're doing. And so you want to swing it somewhere in your writing back to how it affects your story and what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because you're building your audience. You're building your tribe through your posting. And folks that really relate to that, that's your tribe, see? Because that affected you deeply. So anyone else that affects the same way, that's your tribe. Those are your people.
That's how I build my tribe then.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
And that's why I say you've got to be authentic. You have to be authentic. And if faith is an authentic part of what you're doing and who you are, then embrace that. Mm-hmm. You have to be authentic because those are your people.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry, I didn't mean to make it longer, but I just had to share that. That was so powerful. So
perfect. I love it. I think we've covered a lot of territory today. I hope I've inspired you to roll up your sleeves and get busy. Not that we're not busy. All of us are busy. All of us are doing lots of stuff, but I want to keep inspiring you to keep on keeping on, because at some point, those of us that will do the things that other folks won't do are going to end up having things that other folks won't have.
Yeah.
And to have a passive income and to live the life that you want to live and to have everything that you want doesn't just happen. You have to plan for it. And it has to be not only your goal, but you have to have a plan on how you're going to get there. And it's all done in baby steps. It's, you know, it's never done overnight. It's all done by knowing where it is that you want to end up and then just constantly pushing the cart in that direction and getting into some sort of a system, some sort, of a daily system, a daily habit to where you're constantly pushing the cart in that direction. And I can see where all of us are doing that. And it's starting to show. It's starting to happen.
And I encourage everyone to go to my YouTube channel to see the story about Lori, who I interviewed Friday.
Thank you for that. Awesome. Yes. I will definitely jump over there and visit that. Thank you. All right.
Thanks, guys. Great.
Yes. Thank you, everyone. And we will see you. Yes, we'll see everybody next time.
Okay.
Have a great day.
You too.
Bye.